If one big, beautiful bill has left you with one big, confusing question, turn to BHM CPA Group. Their experienced professionals break down complex changes in tax law, accounting, and business regulations so you can make informed decisions with confidence. Simplifying the complex is what BHM CPA Group does best. Don't wait. Visit BHMCPAGroup.com and let's get to work. BHM, because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be. Visit BHMCPAGroup.com today.
You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
for
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin or Rumble, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Have you rated the show? Go ahead and do that real quick if you don't mind. If you think we've earned 5 stars, we would appreciate it. If you want to connect with me directly, macroaggressions.io is the best place to do that. You can follow me on social media where I argue with robots. And you can go to activistpost.com and bookmark that to get all of your news every day. It's a fantastic resource for that. And we cannot do this show without the help of our sponsors. They make this all possible. Chemical Free Body, been with us from the beginning. They make fantastic supplements that actually work. If you're worried about getting products that are kind of sketchy, you don't have to worry about that with Tim James and the crew over there. They're insane about keeping the chemicals out of their products, even out of their t-shirts. And I suggest you take a look at the detox bundle. It's fantastic. It's 90 days. It's green 85 in the morning. And then you take a handful of these capsules. It's real easy. It's just the question of, are you ready to take control of your health? Because if you are, Chemical Free Body is a pretty good place to start. You can check it out. Go to chemicalfreebody.com. If you find something you like, the discount code on your way out the door is MACRO. That will save you some money. And I invite you to also take a look at what Christian Yordanov is doing over at Live Longer Formula. Again, this is just it's health related, right? We got to be proactive instead of reactive. If there is something going on with your body and you feel like you might want to take a look at it, don't put it off. Don't wait until it becomes a bigger problem. Things only get worse. You probably want to take a look under the hood and see what's going on. Christian can help you with that. He's done it with me. For my 50th, I had him do a full, let's look, let's see what's going on, man. Like, what's happening in my body? Okay, well, you're good in these areas. Maybe a little low here. Let's add some supplements. Then a box of pills came a couple days later, and I've been on a variety of supplements ever since, and I feel fantastic. I think I feel better now at 52 than I felt at 22, which is insane, which really I don't think should happen. But I prioritize this stuff, and do you prioritize it as well? I mean, if you're somebody that's dealing with digestive problems or your energy is low, maybe not what it used to be, you can't sleep, you're having a hard time sleeping, these are fixable problems. This is actually right in Christian's wheelhouse. This is what he focuses on a ton. So he's going to help you reclaim your health, your vitality. Look, when you feel sick, you would give anything to feel better. Like, what do they say? Healthy people have 1,000 dreams. Sick people only have one. Well, stop dreaming. Be proactive. Take control of this. Don't live in denial anymore. Go to livelongerformula.com. Book a session with Christian. Tell him I sent you. He's in Portugal. You don't have to be in Portugal. You can do all of this stuff remotely. I've ditched my Western doctors, and I think once you talk to Christian, you will as well. So go to livelongerformula.com and see if it's right for you. Well, you're going to love this one with the great Dr. Jack Cruz, man. Strap yourself in. It's going to be a wild ride. Excited to welcome to the show Dr. Jack Cruz. Hey, Dr. Jack, how are you? Where are you, by the way?
Well, happy to be here. I am in a country in South America called Suriname. It's top of South America, fourth north latitude, longitude about 56 west. So that would put it somewhere in Greenland. We are 11 o'clock a.m. where we are right now. Okay. I'm down here meeting with a group of people in the Legislative Assembly and a young woman, 36 years old, named Maya Parabu, who's running for president of the country. And she's asked me to help her organize her government, you know, based on their history. They've had a pretty rocky road, even a rockier road than I'd say El Salvador has had. And it actually comes from their colonial issues that were tied to both the British, the French, and most recently the Dutch. The national language here is Dutch, so the Dutch have had a big influence. And when they got their independence from the Netherlands in 75, the local people here were promised that they were going to get a constitution. Well, it's been 50 years, and guess what? No constitution. So Maya's come along, and her family was touched by the corruption that happened here. In fact, her father was killed by the people that were in power when she was a young girl. And he was killed when she was 13. She's 36 now. So she's a remarkable young woman, and she's done a lot of things to actually improve herself, to be ready for the steps she's getting ready to take. But she's also very cognizant that getting outside help makes some sense. And she knew that I wrote a constitutional amendment for medical tyranny for Bukele. And then she's found out that I'm kind of a big aficionado of history, and she really liked that. And she's flew another guy in here from Switzerland who I just got finished meeting with for about an hour. And he is probably an expert on the political side, is really big into, you know, the Swiss system, which is very decentralized, but has different facets, but also quite good because they've done, I think, money better than we did in the United States. And what she's trying to do is draw on all these people. And tonight we're supposed to meet with the local people to hear their two cents so that we can get a better flavor to try to adapt the things that we're good at to what they're good at. And one of the points, you know, that I make to people, and I don't know how people will take this when I say it here, but there's no experts in writing a constitution. If there was, we'd have one constitution, everybody would copy it and use it. And it turns out that if you let people who are experienced in the centralized system run the show, you're going to wind up with a lot of problems. And I tell people, I think the people that have done a good job with their constitution, you'll always find out that it's written by people who are autodidacts, who are good with words, very precise, and they show ability to think six steps ahead of where the people are right then and there. In other words, if you can predict into the future 50 to 75 years and then build into the Constitution an ability to change it as times change, or if you decide as a group, no, we want something that's hardcore, that's very difficult to change, then I think you can come up with a framework of how you want to run your country. So most Americans that'll listen to this understand our history and why our Constitution is written where it is. What's getting ready to happen in Suriname that people may not know, I don't think many Americans know much about this country, but one of the things that's getting ready to happen here is Suriname, if you look on a map, looks small compared to the whole continent of South America. But here's the crazy part. They have larger oil reserves here than Qatar does in the Middle East. Yeah. They have the largest gold mine in the world in the jungle here already. And it's in operation and it's doing very well. They also, and this is the thing that really fires me up about this place, they have more forest per unit acre of any country in the world.
Really?
It's almost completely forested. And it's old world woods, meaning like teak, ipa, like this stuff is worth a fortune. But the whole country is completely covered and it's not been chopped up like it is in Brazil. And remember, where this country sits is on top of Brazil.
Right.
Part of the Amazon rainforest is the whole southern part of Suriname. So the indigenous people live in this area. They're at the fourth north latitude. So you can imagine from the medical side of stuff, I'm really interested in this country for that. But the game changer really here is these natural resources they sit on. This is something that El Salvador doesn't have. So that makes this radically different. And it turns out that the government here is already committed to selling their oil reserves. I believe they get their first payment in about two and a half years. So the next president is going to have a big say on what to do with a lot of that money. The same thing is true with their gold resources. And Maya's idea is to sell the resources and make a Bitcoin country immediately. In other words, no central bank, decentralized money right off the bat. And to do that, remember, there's no country on earth, nowhere, not even El Salvador, has this idea at their executive level branch. And obviously, when you have an installed government, this opens up, you know, a lot of potential problems, you know, with the legislative assembly and things like that. So this is, it's a cool process to be involved in. That's why I'm here. I've been here 2 days, and today I get the flavor. Like, I met 5 hours with Maya yesterday. Today I'm going to meet with people in Suriname. I think tomorrow I'm going to meet with a lot of people in Suriname. In fact, I think even some of the indigenous people from the rainforest are coming up. Maya is going to fly them up so that I can talk to them about how their version of medicine would fit directly into my plan.
I hear oil, I hear gold, I hear lumber. What do the economic hitmen think of this place? It's got to be open season as far as they're concerned. Is the IMF and World Bank sniffing around? What's going on from the international scene?
They don't use hardly any IMF here. Why? This is the crazy part. If you look at the country, it's a big country in landmass, only has 600,000 people.
Whoa.
When I tell you that it's very different than any other third world country I've been in. Why? it's very, very primitive. Like the finances, the money situation, they already have bad inflation here in the money. They've done a really bad job because of, just like everybody else in South America, they've been more centralized, more socialist than anything else. Suriname, not so much like, you know, Chile or Argentina, but the same problems that are everywhere else in South America also exist here, but to a less degree. I would tell you here, I think the politics, probably since they got their freedom in 75, has been more about tribal infighting, you know, with the groups that are there. And that's the kind of things that need to be solved. The crazy thing is, because the big guys are not really paying attention, I think they will when they realized how many reserves they have. But if she's able to step over the central banking step and go straight to Bitcoin, I believe that's when you fix that whole problem. And not only that, you're able to fund it all because you have an unending supply of natural resources to do it. And not to also put the wood at risk. Obviously, you know me as a decentralized guy. I'm a big fan of forest and trying to keep them. But realistically, can they use some of this also to rebuild their country? The answer is yes. There's no question about it. But I think that should be dealt with on the middle part of the country, not the top part. The reason why, the top part is very subject to where erosion comes in from the Atlantic Ocean and the Caribbean Sea. And flooding is a big issue here. In fact, in the middle of the capital, there is a river that goes right through, and that river can lead to flooding. I'm actually literally, I think, 1,000 yards from that river right now. So those things are interesting. Those are civil engineering things. That's probably not stuff that I'm going to get involved with, but I may get asked questions about that down the road because I think that's important to the medical system and to how you build things in the future. And I think it's things that you have to think about when you talk to the local people. There's also a centralization problem here with population, which I think is very similar to what we had in the United States back in 1776, that since the country has 600,000 people in it, 300,000 live in the capital. That means the rest of the country, which is pretty big, I think it's the size of four big Western states. You can see that the distribution means that you really have to think about how do you make this fair. And the other person that's here that's talking to Maya is from Switzerland, and Switzerland's got a different problem. It's really small, and it's got a unique culture, meaning it's usually a uniculture. Here, the culture is very much like the United States. You have Caribbeans, you have Africans, you have Indians, you have Dutch, you have some Brits. We've even seen a lot of Chinese people. It's broken up because that's a remnant of their colonization. And this land used to be controlled by the Spaniards, the British, the French, and then the Dutch. Those four play a huge role in the culture here. And that culture is very diverse. So that's what makes this kind of interesting to me, because they're small like Switzerland, but they're diverse. Switzerland's not diverse. The United States is big, but diverse. Right. So you have to marry the ideas of governance and realize, okay, how do you take these big ideas and then make them really good for Suriname for like the next 50 to 75 years, and then build the system so that it can adapt as these new changes, like these resources. You go from really an agricultural country to almost a technology country overnight, and you're using the natural resources to power this. That is something that the Swiss, the United States, in fact, I'm going to tell you, I don't believe, outside of maybe Singapore and Malaysia, and even that, I don't think it's a good model. That's about the only country I can think of from 65 to now that's probably done this type of transformation. So it's a huge ask, and it's a huge task. Never thought in a million years somebody would ask me to kind of come and try to help it. So, well, I mean, I feel privileged for being down here.
I'm glad they did, because I like the decentralized model as well. I like the Bitcoin component working for them and starting that off right from the beginning. Who's the oil exploration partner that they've got? You mentioned they're going to get paid in the next couple of years. Who's doing that?
Total is the one that's paying the most off. I was kind of surprised by that, because this really is a Dutch colony still. And I thought Shell would be a big part of it. I can tell you, most of the gas stations that I've seen around here, most of them are actually Shell. But Maya told me, she goes, yeah, it's a very interesting situation. The French have played a bigger role. And I think I understand the reason why. When you look on a map, you realize that this used to be called Dutch Guyana. Mm-hmm. French Guyana is right next door. So you can see then British Guyana is next to that. So you have all these places all have different oil. The oil companies all will play a role here. But the interesting thing is, I don't think Maya really wants to get involved in the oil business like, say, we would in the States, or even like some of the big majors. She's kind of looking at this. This is the people's piggy bank. Let's use this, but let's build our civilization so that it's decentralized, which, I have to be honest with you, when you're a Bitcoiner, the way I'm thinking about this, the oil in the ground is the DC electric current. She knows that she's sitting on a huge current. That means she can build a pretty amazing country, because she only has to deal with 600 million people. The problem that I deal with, remember, I'm a brain surgeon, and I just explained this to the Swiss guy before I'm coming to talk to you. When you're a brain surgeon, before you cut the brain, take the tumor out, you have to think six steps ahead before you make the cut or the bipolar to know that that step is not going to screw you down the pike, you know, where you lose third grade or your speech or something else. Writing a constitution and thinking about a constitution is very much the same. Why? Because I believe that if she is successful in 50 years, she's going to see a huge influx. It's not going to say 600,000 people. Right. It's going to get much, much bigger. So you have to be ready for that, because if she builds something like Singapore, Malaysia, if you understand the politics of South America and the local areas here, Brazil has been a train wreck for a long time. Brazil's a huge country, but their border is really all jungle. Will people come up? I think they will. Will people absolutely come from Venezuela, Colombia, and the other Guyanas? My belief is yes. Why? Because the whole top of South America is, how I view it, a train wreck politically. I mean, we just saw that with Trump getting into it with the Colombian president. Believe it or not, when that happened, I was in Cartagena.
Yeah, when I saw you on Twitter and saw that you were down there.
And Venezuela has been bad, you know, for 20, 25 years. And the Venezuelans are already using Bitcoin, even though it's not legal tender there. But that's how they're getting by when they have the huge hyperinflation issue there. The other two Guyanas, they're also sitting on huge oil. They have the big problem. Like the question that you asked me, which was a good one, I'm not trying to sidestep it. The IMF is playing a huge role. Why? Because the United States is fighting with Venezuela and Guyana about getting that oil. That's a huge territorial issue. I don't know how that's going to be leveraged with Trump, because I could imagine Trump's going to be way more aggressive than Biden, because he's all about turning the spigots on. So I think Guyana could play a bigger role. But this country doesn't seem to have any problems with its immediate neighbors right now. And it looks like the French are going to deal with that. The United States, Newmont, Canadian Mining are taking care of the gold. Since those two things are already set, this is really Suriname's piggy bank to build what Bitcoiners would say is Nirvana. And she really, when you sit down and talk to her, she really wants to build a hyper-Bitcoinized country from the genesis. And the advice that I gave her is something that's tied to the United States, that I think the United States founding fathers did an amazing job for the time they were in terms of foresight. The big problem that they had is you have to keep the ability to change. Like, if you look at the United States system, initially, I believe they thought the Constitution was good enough. But when you have a new government, remember, the time that it has to change the most is in the beginning, because invariably you're going to leave things out. And as the country expands, just like we saw 1801, we got the Louisiana Purchase. We went from 13 colonies to a monster like this. And was our founding fathers ready for that? The answer was no, they weren't. They didn't have that in there. And I just said to my Swiss colleague and to Maya, I said, just so you know, this is how crazy the United States system was. Jefferson writes the Constitution. Napoleon has the problem with the Brits. The bankers in the city of London counterfeit money to make Napoleon's life miserable. Napoleon has to turn around and sell the Louisiana Purchase to fight that. The purchase of the Louisiana property is against the Constitution of the United States. So what does Thomas Jefferson do? He goes and tells Congress, look, I just wrote this. It's unconstitutional, but it's such a good deal, we need to do it. Now, thankfully, in the early United States, it didn't get into a pissing contest. But can you imagine if that situation existed right now in the United States, we'd never get it. And that's the kind of thing that I think when you're coming as a new country, a new president, you have to be mindful for. And I told Maya, I don't think having one-year terms like they have in Switzerland, or which was her idea in terms of doing things decentralized, I said, that's where you want to be maybe year 10 or 20. I said, but the first 10 years, George Washington has to be there. He doesn't want to be a king, but you got to make sure that as you get the new government out, that you have the ability to change it as things change. And I said, look, Maya, you got potentially $2.5 billion coming into this small economy in 27. I said, that's going to change the mix. And then you have the gold issues. And then if you open this up to privatization, which she wants to do, what happens if they go back like they used to do? What made Suriname famous in the beginning? This was the world leader in bauxite, which is what you smelt aluminum with. You know, so can you imagine the resources are sitting in here? I said to her, I said, based on what I know about the geology, I guarantee you, you got rare earth elements here too. God forbid if the people find that here, they'll be tearing that IPA and TECA. Why? Because it may be worth more than the oil, the gold, and the bauxite in the ground. Because in a tech world, you know, that's there. Then could that open up the whole top of South America to this kind of exploration? The answer is yes, because the Andes Mountains curve and go into Venezuela. That whole shelf right there, knowing the geology, it's going to be loaded with rare earths, with gold. They've already found the gold. Why? Because the gold here is closer to the top because most of the mountains have eroded away. The mountains in Venezuela and Colombia and going down the coast, they're massive. But where on the other end of the Andes chain do we know that there's a lot of lithium, rare earths, and things like that? Peru. And Peru and Chile have already had a war about the border. And it's about that issue. And if you go to the Atacama, which I was at last month, where the NASCAR lines are, this is before you get, you know, to Machu Picchu. This is a desert that if you go down, it's loaded with minerals. Peru hasn't even tapped. And when I was in Peru, I actually met with a young guy who wants to be president of Peru. This is before the Peruvian president met with David Bailey to talk about potentially doing Bitcoin. Well, this kid is younger than that. And I met with four, five of his friends. They're all Bitcoiners already. And I told them, I said, y'all need to start digging holes right where your lithium mines are, down where you fought with Chile, because I have a funny feeling Peru is sitting on a gold mine. And I think Chile and Argentina are sitting on gold mines there.
Gold mines of rare earth.
Rare earth, lithium. I think it's, you have to realize, I told Bukele this 2.5 years ago, that if you look at El Salvador, there's two volcanic chains. If you know anything about the geology, between those two volcanic chains should be gold, rare earths, and water. Specifically, the water is going to be groundwater from the volcanoes. South America, doesn't really have too many volcanoes except on the Pacific Rim Fire. Where Suriname is, they're past all that. That geologic history is old. What does that mean? It means most of the good stuff is closer to the top. So you don't have to dig really deep. Places like on the west coast of South America, you're going to have to dig really deep to get the stuff that you really need. How do we know that's true? What is Colombia famous for? Emeralds. Where did the emeralds come up? They're the first type of mineral that's made out of beryllium, aluminum, and silicon dioxide that's higher up in volcanic chains. Well, if you go a mile or two below there, that's where the rare earths are going to be. That's where the gold's going to be. Colombia doesn't have the technology to get that deep. In fact, even countries like the United States would have trouble finding that if they were given access to drill, because you're talking about 3, 4, 5 miles down in the ground. That's not easy to do.
Is it a fear that you might attract the wrong kind of attention if all of a sudden you discover rare earth minerals and the United States is having problems with China, normally getting a lot of it from them, and they don't want to be dependent on them? Does it put a target on Suriname then if all of a sudden you discover the thing that the American empire needs to keep this EV fantasy alive?
Charlie, you can look at this two ways. The sword has two blades. One side opens up heaven, the other side opens up hell. So it turns out, if you do have it, I personally think that order comes from chaos. I love chaos. And politically, your constitution has to be good to handle chaos. I mean, we're seeing that in the United States. I think we have a good constitution, but you can see just what we just saw with USAID and NIAID. These are two places where money was funneled so that government could break the laws of the constitution. So you have to realize, even if you have a good constitution, when you have corrupt leadership, that the laws really don't matter. And this is hard for a patriot to say, but it's the truth. And when you realize that the Department of Justice determines who is a criminal, for example, Hunter Biden's not a criminal because his father was the president and gave him a pardon. Fauci's not a criminal because Fauci gave him a pardon. So you have to realize that's built into our system. You can't cry over the spilt milk. But what you need to do is maybe what Musk is doing right now. Go after the people that funded these things so that the non-governmental organizations, the NGOs, cannot subterfuge the rights of the people. And I think one of the deficits in our country is that the Supreme Court takes too long to act. I think if I was to redo the Constitution, instead of going through all the appellate courts and the federal courts, I think that when a law comes out that's obviously unconstitutional, like, for example, I'm just going to give you one. I don't think you can be pardoned when you were not convicted of a crime. I'm okay with Hunter Biden because he was convicted. But I have a huge problem with Fauci. He wasn't convicted.
Oh, yeah.
So why can't the Supreme Court come in right off the bat and say, look, it's great that the president wants to do this, but that's not constitutional. They rule on it. And then the people decide, okay, what are we going to do with Fauci? Or maybe it's HHS decides, what are we going to do with Fauci? Like, how are we going to fix the NIAID part of the NIH? Just the way Elon has fixed the USAID. What he did, he took the intelligence operation cash flow away. In other words, all the corruption's still there. They're all screaming on Twitter and on the streets. But if you take the thermodynamic energy away from them, boy, that's a really interesting way to take it out. So the question before we went on this little tangent that you asked me, because don't think I forgot it, is, are you worried about the signal the world gets if you find this stuff? In my opinion, no. But I think you have to think about that when you're writing your constitution. Yes. Because guess what? You may need some outside help to take advantage of that for your country, especially when you don't have the technology. Remember, this place right now, the way I look at it, this is like 1840 United States here. Wow. Can you imagine me in 1840 United States and want to go straight to Bitcoin and thorium nuclear reactors to run mines? Like, right. You're laughing. So,
yeah.
instead of laugh, I want you to think about being a black swan mitochondriac and realize that your constitution has to act like the colony of mitochondria in people. It has to be precision, clockwork, so that you understand what's going to happen. But at the same time, you know that you're not going to get it all right. So that means you have to have the ability to adapt faster. And that's why I said the court system needs to be able to help the executive and legislative branch adapt faster. And do I think there should be a sliding scale? Say that you have term limits built in. The first 50 years, if the president is good and you want him 3 or 4 terms, great. But after 50 years, you can only have 3 terms. After the next 75 years, you can only have 2 terms. So it's a sliding scale, because if you think about the U.S. Constitution, most of our amendments happened early on. We haven't had a lot of amendments in the last 50 years, have we?
No.
The only one is about the 25th Amendment. And then what was that about? It was about secession of power. And the vice president, if the president gets incapacitated, when did that come up? Ironically, it comes up with Woodrow Wilson because his wife ran the country. But we didn't fix that problem for 50 years afterwards, which brings me to my point. The more mature a state gets, the more corrupt it gets, the harder it is to make changes. So this is the reason why when you get a group of people together to come up with a new idea, this is a constitutional republic powered by energy that's decentralized. Everybody likes the idea, but here's the hard problem that Maya's got to face. How do you execute on the idea? Because what did I famously say in my TED talk that got banned? Ideation without execution leads to deletion of every good idea. So in other words, those founding documents have to be on the mark. They have to be, it doesn't have to be perfect, 80, 90%. And then you turn it over to the power of the people, which is the part of the Swiss system that I like. They have, I think, a better way of adjudicating, because basically they look at every law they pass is if the people decide they don't like it, they're going to change it. So the people have the power to do that. We don't have that situation in the United States. Why? Because remember, Switzerland's small. Their politicians have done a better job backing their money by gold than we did. Our country is massive, and it went through massive expansion from its birth to now, you know, really big. And do I think our Constitution was really built for that expansion? No, it wasn't. That's a big, giant hole for us. What's the other hole? The medical tyranny part. What's the other hole, which I think you'll agree with? That's Bitcoin. You know, the fact that we didn't have the monetary technology in the Federalist Papers, we just used the Bank of England because that was the best we got, and Alexander Hamilton got killed over it.
So, in a sense, could you be setting up the Suriname government constitution in the way that Bitcoin was set up, where there's sort of a halving, 50 to 25 to 12 and a half to 6 and a quarter? And
you can already see what I'm thinking by what we're talking. That makes me happy, because if I can enunciate this to you over a podcast, I'm kind of hoping that the same thing can happen here in Suriname. But just remember, you're already a Bitcoiner. They're not. In fact, I posted a video yesterday of a guy that I gave $100 to a tip, which they only make $175 a week here. Mm-hmm. And I gave it to him in Bitcoin on a moon wallet. And I told him, you can't sell it. I don't have to worry about him selling it because nobody else has Bitcoin here. So the reason I did it is because he's going to look at it and go, shit, my money in the bank doesn't do this. And then I'm hoping, and I told him this, I want you to tell all your friends and show them and show them and show them. Because when the populace gets the idea that, hey, this is money that goes up in value, doesn't go down, then all of a sudden it makes Maya's job easier. Yeah. In other words, we're not trying to screw the indigenous people. Like, the big problem that they've had in El Salvador, in my opinion, is that the government hasn't done a good enough job with the local people. They gave them the protection. And I think what they thought was going to happen, the American dollar was going to blow up. This was, for want of a better term insurance for their money. Because remember, El Salvador is already dollarized. So if the money blows up, the people in El Salvador are fucked. Well, technically, if you got Bitcoin, you're good. Now, even this new deal that Bukele did with the IMF, I still don't think it's a big deal in terms of the mechanics of El Salvador. Why? Because most people in El Salvador do know about Bitcoin. They may not be transacting in it, but they know about it. And they know how it works. The most progressive are the people in Bitcoin Beach and in Berlin in El Salvador that know how to use it. So if the shit really did hit the fan, do I think people in El Salvador would do pretty well? I think they would do fine. And I don't think the recent deal that Bukele did with the IMF is that big a deal. But I will say this. Anytime you make a deal with the bad guys, you always have to be vigilant about the other side. As long as Bukele keeps building his stack, keeps trying to mine the Bitcoin. But remember, Bukele's problem right now is he's got to fix the middle class problem. He's got to build the economy, and he's got to do that without the resources that Argentina or Suriname has. He's got a radically different problem. So when he found the water and the gold that I told him in the middle of the country, mm-hmm. now he's got to get that shit out the ground and build his middle class with that.
What can Suriname learn from the mistakes of El Salvador? I mean, besides, as you say, you take a deal with the IMF, and that's, you know, that's something to keep your eye on. If you're starting this country, this constitution, this pivot to Bitcoin from the beginning, great job what El Salvador's done. They've cleaned up their crime. They've cleaned up, they've created a concept, a proof of concept. What's the next evolution of that in Suriname? What would you do differently?
Well, I'm going to say something to you. Hopefully you take this the right way, because I say this on Twitter a lot. The smartest people learn from other people's mistakes. Here's the problem. I think that's only operational for 1% of humans on the planet. Why? The biggest problem that humans have is they're not first principle thinkers. So the answer to your question is the people that construct the Constitution, the ideas around the Constitution, if they are first principle thinkers that understand the power of decentralized networks, then I think the country's in good hands. What if that doesn't happen? Charlie, I would point to you, that is the experience of the United States, El Salvador before Bukele, and Suriname right now before Maya. But I think that's actually the world history. If you want to know the real reason why I think most of us believe that politics are fucked, I think it's because the people that have always been in power have always centralized too much and not decentralized enough. Why? Because if you think about it, when you go through a revolution, you're reacting to the badness that just happened, and it's really a reactionary government instead of the way nature is. Nature has built layer on top of layer on top of layer on top of layer. So all these networks cycle in. That's not how we do our politics, but that's actually how we should do our politics. And if you realize that you link your politics to the thermodynamics of energy, ooh, it becomes a lot easier to do. It may not be palatable at the origin, but I think within 10 years, I think things can change. And the one thing that I will say, and I've said many times on podcast, people forget, what's the first thing Bukele did before he fixed his country? He made Bitcoin legal tender. He gave the protection. Then he went and did the exception regime and put all the bad hombres in jail. What was Bukele's biggest problem? It actually wasn't the money. It actually was the gangs. That was his shadow government. And when he fixed that, he's literally fixed 95% of the problems in El Salvador. He has one left. He's got to rebuild the economy, and he's got to do it any way he possibly can. So his mandate is now changed. So you have to realize you're seeing him adapt on the fly. You may not understand it because you don't understand the politics there. I live there. I get it. You're not going to find a more happy populace in the world. Like when Americans come down there, they're stunned, and it's safe as all hell. But remember, the problems in the United States, like people who voted for Trump, the last 14 days have been magical. Because not even, look, I'm not a Trump guy. I was a Bobby Kennedy guy. But what Trump has done so far has been pretty remarkable. The only thing I'm not happy with is the latest meeting with Israel and Netanyahu.
Oh, yeah.
What he said in Gaza. To me, that's a step the wrong way.
Yeah.
And but again, do I have to realize as an American, I got to give him leeway, because if he does 90% right and 10% wrong, I can scream about the 10% all I want, but on whole, is that a better choice than what I was getting from Biden and Kamala? Yeah, I don't want communism. I don't want Bernie Sanders. And I think, I almost hate to say this, but I think the Democrats and the rhinos did Trump a huge favor in the confirmation hearings. Why? Because now even people on the left said, this is a problem. Like everybody in America, whether you're left or right, they were for Bobby, Tulsi, Cash Patel. Why? Because these are the institutions that are broken in the United States. And when you have guys coming out in the Senate and realize there's a mandate, he won everything, every swing state. No, you don't question. You give him the chance to let him hang him by his own rope. And if the guy does a bad job, then you get rid of him or you get rid of his vice president. But I don't think that's the way the system in the United States is built. And I also think the problems that we have from the expansion of the United States, meaning California, New York, Chicago, and how we've given senators so much control, like say in a state like Wyoming that has 50,000 people that live in it, but they have two Senate seats. That's as powerful as the two Senate seats in California. Do I understand why people in certain parts of the country upset with that? Like, for example, I'm pretty upset with Mitch McConnell right now. Kentucky's a shithole, as far as I'm concerned, but it turns out the other senator's pretty good. So the people in that state, kind of like in the Swiss system, you have to return that power back to the people. That's where I think the big mistake that the founding fathers never got right. In the beginning, if you know American history, nobody wanted to serve in government. They wanted to go work on the farm and make money. Today, now it's become a job, an occupation. So term limits are a big thing. Most people, like in the Swiss, I think the longest you can serve in the Swiss system is only 11 years. So we need something like that in our country, but asking our government to put some type of term limits on and take food out of their own mouth, you know that's never going to happen. This is why, Charlie, I said to you, when you're building a constitution, you have to be mindful. And do I think Suriname is going to face this? Yeah, I think they've become so successful that being a politician down here could be, like being the CEO of United Healthcare. And that, to me, you have to worry about.
Is Greenland Trump's Louisiana purchase?
Well, I'm going to tell you, if Greenland turns out to have rare earths, and remember, nobody really knows the geology. The one thing I will tell you that's unique about Greenland, it's been kind of shaved off by the glaciers. The oldest part of the tectonic plates on Earth, 4 billion years old, is exposed in Greenland. Really? That's a good sign because it means you can get deeper to get if there's rare earths there. But we really don't know what was on Greenland 2 billion years ago. My bet, based on what we do know, is that Greenland does hold some significant resources. But the real reason Trump now wants Greenland, I don't think it's what's been talked about in literature. Geopolitically, now that the Arctic has melted, you can go from the North Shelf of Alaska all the way down to Port Fourchon in the Gulf, unimpeded with boats, and you don't need to ice break. So what does that mean? You need pit stops along the way. The pit stops that are on the northeast side of Greenland are absolutely critical for the oil infrastructure. That is the reason they want it. And here's the good part. Here's where it's tied to Suriname. The same country that's tied to Suriname is tied to this issue. And here's where the Dutch people in Amsterdam, people in Netherlands are really fucked up. The liberal politics of, the World Economic Forum has made the people in Greenland pissed off so bad at Europe. They're like, they say to Trump, they've already voted. They said, we'll take Trump any day. Yeah.
That's a catastrophe. I mean, they Well, listen, the Europeans have nobody to blame but themselves for their behavior. Well, so
guess what? That's what I'm saying to you. And I'm going to tell you the same thing that's also going on. Remember, I'm going to caveat this because I don't want anybody to misconstrue what I'm saying. Many people in legacy media are talking shit about the tariffs. I don't think they understand the tariffs. The tariffs, the way they're being used on the Canadians, is brilliant. Okay, in my opinion, Trump knows that what happened. He has the same problem Bukele has. How do you rebuild the middle class? Well, the way you rebuild the middle class is look at what finances were before the Federal Reserve. That's when we did have tariffs. What do tariffs effectively do? You can rebuild all the manufacturing in the middle part of the country. Well, guess what? Those are all the states that Trump already won. And if he brings jobs back to us, yeah, we may pay more for our goods, but guess what? We're not going to have to worry about not having volume and have to get it from China because we can make it in Ohio or we can make it in Michigan. And to me, that's really important because that will lead to that. How do you offset the tariff issue? Here's my point. This puts huge problems for the leftists in Canada. That's the Trudeau people, the people in Quebec. I think we need to make Canada realize that the number one thing they need to do is go back to their lineage, oil, pipelines, gas. Why? They're a small country. Most of their population is in a couple of places. If they play ball and become a good partner with the United States, strengthen the border, stop the drug flows coming in, Canada could be extremely successful. If they don't, remember, Canada is the best colony or country in the world for Trump to make an example for Europe, Russia, and China. Because you know what's going to happen? Canadian dollar only makes up 9.1% of DXY. If you hammer them, you're going to show the world with that 9.1% what will happen to their currency. Remember, we don't need Canada for anything. They need us. That's the big problem that Trudeau and his party doesn't understand. I will tell you, some of the guys that are Bitcoiners in Canada, like Pierre, he gets it, but he's even pissed what Trump's doing because he realizes that if Trump really puts the stranglehold, Canada really will be the 51st state. Why? Because Canadians are going to get so pissed off that the value of their money is going to go down and the tariffs, the imports, are going to be nuts. It's going to be, they will have to really do a ton of work to rebuild their country. And does Canada have that ability with a massive country with only 30 million people? I don't think so. That's the problem.
Is that why they're grooming that diabolical shithead banker, Mark Carney, to get installed in there and try and fight this battle on behalf of the empire against Trump?
If Carney is actually left of Trudeau, so Carney is not an answer. In fact, Carney is an answer for Canada burning and becoming the 51st state quicker. Oh. So this actually is net positive for the United States. Canada, and I'm talking about Canadians now, in a real conundrum. You're going to have to decide, and they may do this. They may vote for this clown so that they can get to the United States faster. The issue is timing for me. I believe Trump's only got 2 years, maybe four, to really use these tariffs to build. But if he rebuilds manufacturing, even if it's in certain segments, this is going to be a huge signal to J.D. Vance that you're likely going to win the president the next time. It's also a really bad signal for Canadians because it means they're likely going to become more part of the United States and less like Canada. In other words, they'll lose a lot of their politics. And do I believe the question you asked me earlier, because I didn't forget that either. I think Canada is more likely to become part of the United States than Greenland.
Interesting. What's the role then of, we just had the American Sovereign Wealth Fund announced, using that maybe as a vehicle to purchase a variety of things, including Bitcoin. What's the role of the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve as part of this sovereign wealth fund?
I like the Treasury Secretary. I don't like Lutnick. A lot of people don't know this about me, but I lobbied very hard for Lutnick not to be the Treasury Secretary. The reason why is Lutnick has ties to Israel and the Mossad. And I'm not a fan of his ideas. The when he was just in the Oval Office with Trump and the Treasury Secretary, you heard how he said, yeah, we should get in front of different things and profit from it. And he used vaccines as an analogy. And I'm going, this guy is tone deaf. He's not here in the room. He doesn't get it. But that's the reason why is because his allegiance is to Israel, not to the United States. People need to understand that. So the fact that he's Commerce Secretary, that's good. But here's the key. I think the Strategic Reserve and the new Sovereign Wealth Fund are vehicles where you can put Bitcoin in the United States faster. And you have a Treasury Secretary that truly understands the tariff game. What you need to do, and this is the big mistake, putting David Sacks as a shitcoiner with Lummis to me is crazy. I know why he did it. He had to do it to get elected because of all the jackasses in A16Z. But here's what you need to do. My opinion is where I am right now. I am not a fan of the SBR. I'm not a fan of this new thing they put out. I believe Bitcoin should be owned by the people. Why? Because it decentralizes the people to the government. Now, that being said, am I okay if Lummis takes her head out of her ass, enucleates all the jackasses around her, the shitcoiners, and makes the SBR Bitcoin only? I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly fine with that. But here's their problem. They need to do it sooner. So, Charlie, how would I do it if Lummis, Trump, Bobby invited me to the United States to have the conversations I'm having in Suriname? How could you change the mix without worrying about the political game? Bitcoin is considered property in the United States, right? Mm-hmm. Taxation is theft. Make Bitcoin tax-free before you even have the SBR. Guess what happens then? You just created a flow to a new property. Guess what? Who will drive that? Not the Wall Street bankers, not Israel, not the political people in Washington, D.C. People, no coiners, shit coiners, and Bitcoiners will decide for themselves, very much like the Swiss model, where they want to go. If you want to keep your money in fiat, I'm perfectly fine with you doing that. If you want a shitcoin in the casino, I'm actually okay with that. I'm one of those few Bitcoin maxis that think that predator needs prey. I've said this multiple times in clubhouse rooms. Many of the guys that are maxis like me, they find this idea that I have crazy because they're always trying to dump on shitcoins. Like one of my good friends, Max and Stacy, yeah. Kaiser, they hate shitcoins. There's no question about it. I have breakfast with them a lot. We talk about it. And I told them, I said, I'm okay with the shit corners. I don't want them around me. I don't want them living next to me. I don't want them at my dinner parties. But I believe the great white shark needs baby seals. They're the baby seals. And they will teach people how monetary energy should flow in a decentralized network. I know that's counterintuitive, but this is how a brain surgeon thinks six steps ahead. Because eventually, the gene pool of shit corners will be taken out over the next 50 years.
Yeah.
And do I think the SBR and the Sovereign Wealth Fund gives the new United States Treasury, meaning the anti-Fed, anti-Jekyll Island new secretary we have, a way to fight without Congress having to get in and appoint a new place in the Treasury or the Fed to hold it? I don't want the Fed to hold any Bitcoin at all. In fact, those are the guys that we need to cut the umbilical cord on. And I do think the announcement of the SBR and the Sovereign Wealth Fund is that umbilical cord that does that. The key is, much like you and I have talked probably in the first hour here, how the United States creates the founding documents for these things is critical. But here's where I come in on it. This is where Lummis needs to do it faster than later. And doesn't mean the legislation. The first thing they should do immediately in the first 100 days when they have their initial meetings, they should come out and say, all Bitcoin is tax-free. If you're going to put shit coins in it, say XRP, ETH, Solana,
yeah,
the tax rate is like 50% or 25%, whatever number you want to come up with. In other words, you're stratifying that. You're giving the A16Z guys that got Trump elected the David Sacks to pump his bag, but you're going to tell them you're going to have to pay more to do this.
Gotcha.
But the people that own Bitcoin that are truly decentralized, because this is the ethos that the American government wants to give back. Why? Because property that you've already paid taxes on that you've bought, which is what Bitcoin is, which is technically what your land is. I even have a problem in the United States that when you buy a piece of property, you have to pay property taxes. I believe all property tax should be eliminated as well.
Yes, yes, of course. Yes, it feels to me that Bitcoin is too good for the government. Like, I don't want the government anywhere near it. I don't want them to ban it. I don't want them to pay attention to it at all. But it doesn't matter what I think. They're already on it.
Charlie, I don't even care if they ban it. You know why?
Yeah. Why?
The time to strangle the infant has already passed. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin doesn't change for the government. Bitcoin changes everything else. And you need to realize that when the United States wheels Bitcoin in to the Treasury or to the legislative branch, dude, 50 years from now, the United States will be on a totally different trajectory because Bitcoin will have changed it. It'll change everything around us. But the best way to change things is to get Bitcoin in the hands of the people fastest. The fastest way, if Lummis was serious as a senator from Wyoming, that would be her primary goal as the chairperson, that she should push Trump, let's make Bitcoin tax-free. Because guess what? That would give them a year or two to get the Bitcoin SBR law and the sovereign wealth fund correct. Not only that, it would not allow countries like Czech Republic to jump us. Like, I would tell you, if I'm Mexico, if I'm Canada, if I'm someplace in Europe, the play right now is jump the United States.
Oh, absolutely. Why isn't everybody? I mean, it seems insane to me in some regards that they're signaling that they might be buying it. They're giving everybody, every country, every sovereign wealth fund, every asshole out there that wants to front run them the opportunity to jump right in front of the U.S. government, who's not going to be price sensitive at all when they can fire up their magic printing machine.
I want you to get this. This is where conversations we had the first hour at matter, because you and I are having the same conversations that I'm going to be having with Maya and Suriname. Mm-hmm. Guess what our constitution is now? This issue about money. So the guys that put Trump in, those are partially the rhinos, the DNC people, and A16Z guys. Remember, Trump used to be a Democrat. Elon was a Democrat. Nicole was a Democrat. Bobby was a Democrat. So the Republican Party technically now is centrist Democrats. So you have to realize this history. These people are all shitcoiners. Trump proved that he's a shitcoiner.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he had Trump coin, and his son, Eric, has really disappointed me. Why? Because he's a shitcoiner. But remember what I said to you. As a maxi, and when I say maxi, I'm a freedom maximalist. I want Trump, Eric Trump specifically, to spend his money in shitcoins, because guess what? He'll be poorer 50 years from now than he would be if he listens to American HODL or British HODL, you know, or the people that are in the Bitcoin maxi rooms on Clubhouse. And you know what? That is the natural evolution of how it should go. But remember, since Trump's family is involved in this, one of the things that I like, so he has a 19-year-old son who seems to understand Bitcoin, seems to understand shitcoins, seems to even understand fiat. He's picked up a lot of different things, and he also is not tone deaf like his older brothers are, okay? His father seems to actually listen to the younger people. When we all heard that Barron was the reason why he went straight to podcast and didn't go to legacy media, let me tell you something. That's not something normally an 80-year-old man is going to do to listen to his 20-year-old son. That tells you that Trump's open-minded. The problem is we need Barron to talk to Cynthia Lummis. We need Barron to talk to David Sacks. But remember, David Sacks is tied to the A16Z guys, the guys in Silicon Valley, the Those guys are bag pumpers. Those are the guys like Chamath. They're always looking to pump their bags. And those are not, they're okay to have on committees. They can't be decision makers because what are they going to do? They're going to be reactionary when the new laws come out. That's the problem in government. You need to have people that are decentralized in the way they think and say, what is best for Joe and Q public on the street? My opinion, before we get involved in any of the Congress stuff, is make it tax-free. Then whatever the fuck you decide, Americans will say, I don't give a fuck what they do. Because truthfully, it's about the people on the street. And I promise you, if they make it tax-free, you're going to see people coming out of their gold, coming out of their treasury bonds. They're going to sell NVIDIA. I'm not kidding you. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen quick.
Let's wrap up with this. The technocracy movement in 1932 fantasized about this idea of ditching money and moving to an energy-backed form of transacting, of currency. Yeah, it didn't really go anywhere. But and maybe they were 100 years too early with this idea. Now we're in a world where Bitcoin is basically energy monetized. Is there a future in which we don't look at money the same way because it has always been fiat printed by money machines and central bankers, but instead we monetize backed by a form of energy and Bitcoin becomes that monetary source?
I think you're already seeing that. I tried to make this case when I did the Rick Rubin, Andrew Huberman podcast. I think Bitcoiners, the early Bitcoiners, I'm talking from the genesis to where we are right now, we're the early mammals after the asteroid. We've already figured out actually how our lives should be lived. The problem is we're being constrained still by the environment that we're in. We already have the asset, but the environment is constraining us. So what are some of us doing? Some of us are going to places where we're not as constrained. In other words, that's what Suriname is. That's what El Salvador is. That's what places like Venezuela are. Venezuela, where the political corruption is the worst, yet the people are using Bitcoin. That is a signal to no corners. They may not pick the signal up. They may be the extinct people that decide to go buy ETH in the casino. I'm fine with that. But what I'm saying to you is I believe the question you've already asked has already happened. And the problem is the handwriting's on the wall, but not everybody can read. Not everybody can understand. I think even people in our government, I would put there. Like, for example, Jamie Dimon, Sherrod Brown, Elizabeth Warren. You just saw that the asteroid took Sherrod Brown out. Well, eventually, Jamie Dimon and Warren are going to be there. There'll be others. But my issue, and I want to make sure we explain this very well. When the asteroid hit the planet and took the dinosaurs out and the age of mammals began, it was rapid. What did I say to you earlier? I want Lummis to realize time is the best thing to induce the chaos to get the change. Do not let the people around you, the shitcoiners, because the shitcoiners are going to slow the process down so they can get their bags pumped. The fastest way for you to change this, make it tax-free. You do that, you'll have the energy economy because guess what? Everybody will be thinking in terms of energy because that's what it works on. It works on an AC power grid that's based by DC. All of a sudden, everybody will begin to look at their own economies, at their own countries, at their own industries. What should we be doing? Like, is it wise to be a nuclear power and use uranium? Is this the reason why Maya jumped straight to thorium? Now think about where we are. This is a country in the 1840s that has a 36-year-old leader that's already made that quantum leap. And Charlie, how'd that happen? Because she's a Bitcoiner. She answered the question you just asked me. That's why Uncle Jack is in her country right now.
Where is the best place for people to find Uncle Jack and your work? Besides, I mean, on X, you're just a savage out there. I love your stuff.
Yeah, I would say X is probably where you get how I think about the world in real time. But if you, we haven't spent very much time talking about the medicine side, the decentralized medicine stuff. But if you're interested in how mitochondria work, light, water, magnetism, in other words, the energy economy of cells, Patreon, my website. My website has a forum that I keep you busy for 10 years if you read it all. Every disease covered. You can put my name and a disease in a Google box and you'll find something. I've done, you know, shit tons of podcasts. But Patreon has my high-level quantum biologic thinking. I've got about 150, 160 articles on LinkedIn. Those are all free. My old Jack Cruise site's got tons of blogs. I post a lot of it on Twitter. Like this morning, someone asked me a question about heart function, and I think it was about Bazan's loop. People who are listening to this probably have no idea what that's about. But if you go look at the Twitter feed, or the best one is probably my pinned tweet, that gives you a little flavor for Uncle Jack. I sound like a simple guy in a podcast, but I will split your head open just like a brain surgeon do, and I will do brain surgery without a scalpel with my words.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it. That's why I reached out. I wanted to have this conversation. That's Dr. Jack Cruise, everybody. Go follow him on X. Go support his amazing work and learn a little bit more about the world that we're living in. And if you want to connect with me, the best way to do that, macroaggressions.io. You can go to activistpost.com and naturalblaze.com as well. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.